At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. What things? Yeah, but look what it keeps on saying. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, but worry about its own things. Be sufficient for today's trouble. Previous to that is eating, housing, food. Don't worry about this. Seek kingdom. Why? Because in the kingdom, the king owns everything and there is no shortage. The psalmist puts it this way in poetic language. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging bread. And he's talking about in the poetic sense and a little bit of hyperbole, talking about the kingdom in that sense. But then we have the covenant or the constitution of any kingdom. All right, it is that documented, okay, will, intent, desires, and purpose of the king for his citizens and his kingdom. For us, that is the revealed word of God. It is not the EBGBs you get. It is not a word you get in private prayer. It's not some prophetic word you think you might get too. It's the revealed word of God. That is the covenant. That is the Constitution. Well, this covenant idea brings a couple things with it. How many of you have ever signed a contract? Yes, it says, who's responsible for what? Who has to do what? Who's the authority over what? And what's the punishment or correction? If it goes right, this is what you get out of it. If it goes wrong, this is what happens. That's the old covenant we see. And that applies for us as well. Implications of lordship and covenant together. I know I'm moving fast, aren't I? But do you call me Lord? Lord. Notice the emphasis. And do not do the things I say. I'm sorry. You don't get it. You don't understand kingdom if you don't do what I tell you. God's saying that, not me. And you know the whole wise man built his house upon the sand, rock, foolish man built his house on sand. That's what it's like. And I don't know what happened to the slide there, but anyway, if you live within the king's domain, but not under his covenant, you are the king's enemy. I'm going to say that again. If you live within the borders, if you will, what's the borders of the Lord's kingdom? Everything, there you go. If you live within the king's domain, but you do not live under his covenant, you are an enemy of God. And this comes out of Romans chapter 8. The mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, the economy of the kingdom. For it, now notice this word right here. That it is not even able to do so. So how do you? God enables you. Yeah, just a little theology there. And those who are in the flesh cannot. You see what I'm saying? I can't see it down there. You have to forgive me. But I have it over here. I can probably read it over here. Cannot please God. So there's inside of that idea of him being Lord in this contractual agreement, though, comes the idea that there is no such thing as a weekend citizen. Let me put it another way. Sunday morning Christian. Okay? And in that kingdom, though, there's also a code of ethics. All right? In the kingdom, there is no moral relativism. It doesn't happen. Why? because the law is based on the king's will, the king's law, nothing else. It's based on his situation, not yours. So it isn't relative to where you are. It's relative to who the king is. So there's only the only will in the kingdom is the king's will. Matthew 7, 21. And the only law is the king's law. We have a problem with that. Trust me. Even those of us who are in the kingdom still struggle with that. Even Jesus said, not my will, but yours, God. Because my flesh, that's his flesh side, going, I don't want to go through this. Okay? So there's that conflict. A whole bunch of other scriptures on the idea. Now, citizenship in the kingdom is not a right, it is a privilege. Okay? That privilege is granted at the pleasure of the king alone. Period. That will mess with many people in America's theology. Okay? The citizens are chosen by the king and are benefactors of the king's pleasure and grace. Please read those words. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. You are not in the kingdom because you were so smart to choose Christ. It was the pleasure, it says, it even says in those, but the pleasure of his will. You were predestined and chosen. No. See, God looked forward in time and saw I was coming to the kingdom. So then he decided to let me in. That does not mesh with the idea of a king. See, in America and the Magna Carta, anybody remember the Magna Carta? That the king rules by favor of the people. See, most people argue that God's the ruler of my life because I picked him. I voted him in. That's not a Bible idea. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to make time. Once you understand, when they say we want a world king, what they're giving up. It's not up there, but I want to let you know this too, though. Not only as citizens, but we've been adopted as children, so therefore we get to enjoy what the king owns. Everybody else has to struggle to try to get more because they think it's theirs. This is why Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, and it'll sound familiar to you. Let the little children come unto me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Notice the word belongs. Wait a minute. I thought he owned it. Yeah, you better say it. But when you're my children, it also belongs to you. Many people take that scripture, and because he goes on to say, truly I say unto you, whoever does not receive tells me it's being given to me, it's not mine by right. The kingdom of God, like a child, shall not enter it. Now, this is hard. My kids, I do it to my kids. Dad, I want this. Yeah, but this is what I want. I want to watch football. Yeah, but I want to watch it. You don't understand. I own this place. You get to watch TV because I let you. You get to eat because I give it to you. You have a bed to sleep in because I work for it and give it to you. Okay, but really, it's God. We know that, all right? But that same type of principle, wait a minute. As children, unless you come understanding, you have nothing. It is all given to you by your Father. You ain't even going to get in the kingdom. No, but it was my desire, I sought God. I was looking for him. The heck you were. I'll show you. Scripture says no one seeks God. No, not one. The only reason you're seeking God is because God's chasing you. That's all. Worship. This is where men get... See, this is such a part of kingship. This is where we have a problem with natural kings. Because after a while, guess what they want? Worship. Whether it's in Egypt, whether it's in Greece, they claim themselves to be gods. Because they know there's something about kingship. If I'm giving you your food, if I'm giving you whatever, I expect my kids to honor and respect me for those reasons, not just because I'm not dad, but because I do provide those things, but I don't want to be worshipped for it. And human nature goes too far. I mean, we've even had presidents says, you don't know what to do with the money, we need to do it for you. We're so far above you. So this is a problem. But we all know that somehow kingships bring honor. And then when humans do that, when they don't deflect that back to God, they're in trouble. Even if you're a pope. Did I just say that? Yeah. Anyway, even if you're a pope. And I have it right here. I was going to read it this morning, but we were having technical difficulties. But let me read to you 1 Chronicles 16, 23 through 31. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Are you seeing familiar themes here? Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O the families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory to his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord. Notice you always got to bring something when you worship the Lord. Worship the Lord in the holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Indeed, the world is firmly established. Back to that creation thing. It is not to be moved. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Part of kingdom is worship. Why? Because he's letting you breathe. That's why. The air you got up, you were sucking breathe last night, whether you're on a CPAP machine or not, the air you breathe is given to you by God. Amen. Therefore, you ought to worship, because he can shut that breath off just like that. Representation. It's always been the case. You have the Lord, the King, and then you have the Lords, little L's. The Knights of the Round Table, Sir So-and-so, Sir, you know, Sirloin of Beef, Cirrhosis of the Liver. You know, I got that from Bugs Bunny, by the way. Okay, if you ever remember that. All right. But anyway, all right. So there's always this representation. We have them today. What do we call them? Ambassadors. Okay? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. Shouldn't be seek. Should be see your good works and glorify who? Not you. Okay, and Jesus says, don't let your good works be done among men. You know, when he talks about the guy who prays where everybody can see him and all that kind of stuff, it's not saying you can't pray in public. It's saying your heart and your attitude about it. Or giving or whatever else. So it's this representation. This really comes into play in Romans chapter 5. Right? We'll see it in a little bit. So that idea of ambassador, that word is used. You can see it in Matthew 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And look at this. As you sent me, this is Jesus praying, into the world, I also sent them. Wait a minute. Was Jesus a representative of God on earth? Yes. He says, in the same way, I send you. As a I want you to think about that for a minute. Why? So other people will see what you do, and they will see God. When they see you in the theater and what you're watching, will that make them see God? Just checking. I didn't say theaters are bad. I just want you to think about that. You're a representative of God. You're a representative of Christ. When they see you, when they see how you spend your money, when they see how you treat your wife, when they see how you raise your kids, when they see how you live, do they say, hey, there's something unique right there. Wait a minute, isn't that what God made Israel for? Yeah, I want you to be peculiar. You're set apart, holy. What? So you would be my witness in the earth. And the church isn't no different. Read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. That's the same reason you're here, is to represent him. But as representatives, that means we have a domain. Not a dominion in that sense, but a domain. Just as the Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you. What's the other famous one about that? Genesis. Right? Go take dominion. The authority I've given you here, take that authority somewhere else. Oop, you blew that. You'll lose the authority. So that representation. As such, as represents, we are servants or stewards of the king. That you see that all over in Jesus' parables as well. Right? Okay. All right. But as servants, we figure out this idea. The greatest among you is the servant. That is not what our kingdom teaches. Our kingdom is you compete and beat down the other guy and win, you're in. You're the guy at the top. That ain't the way the Bible works. And you'll find a principle of exaltation of the faithful servant. Don't believe me? Again, look at the parables. I'm going to take it from the unfaithful one and give it to the one that has the most. And the first will be last, and that last servant will be first. The exaltation of the servant. Christ is our example, Philippians chapter 2. For Christ did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself, took on the form of a servant. Therefore, God exalted his name above every name that every knee shall bow. Okay? All right? So this principle of we represent God, but in that kingdom, we are servant representatives. I love this. I've been in government service for 25 years. My running mate has no experience at all in serving the people. Yeah, you have no idea what servant means. Servants don't have special parking spots. Servants don't get special Medicare, medical rule. Servants don't get convoys or, you know, take them everywhere. That ain't what servants do. That's how kings act. Then multiplication. Now watch this. By this, my Father is glorified. How is the king glorified when you're his representative and servant? That you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. You'll be my disciple if you bear fruit. This is why Jesus said, go forward, make disciples of nations, not converts. Not those who go, yeah, there's a king. Not mine, but there's a king. I don't want to be blamed for all the sin I did, but I don't want to get in this kingdom thing. There's no change. They don't live by kingdom principles. They are adversarial to the kingdom. To you it has been granted. Now watch this. To you, this is when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower. To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been granted. And when you tell people it's been granted to you, you arrogant bigot, you. Did you hear the word granted when I said this? Nobody gets mad at somebody wants to study something stupid or fund art. Well, I got a grant from the government. Well, you arrogant. What makes you think you're... No, you understand. It's a grant. They don't have to give it to me. So I can do that. It's granted to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom. If God owns everything, he's the Lord, it's his will that matters, it's his law that matters, and he's the one that gives all things to us, that means all I have is that I have this way, okay, is that God has given it to me that I might be an instrument by which his will, his law, his lordship is carried out. That means in my house. That means that square box, that flat thing in front of me, that means that. That means my children. So go to Malachi. What did God say? That the two become one, that he, God, might have godly offspring, that he would have righteous representatives in the earth. That's why the two become one. Really, I thought it because it would make me happy. If you've had kids, you might know better than that. It's God's desire for you to enter the kingdom of life, okay? To experience, to explore. I know I'm reading it, but I wrote it well, okay? To explore, apply, practice, and enjoy the benefits and the promises and the privileges of that kingdom on earth. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We get to, we've been invited into, by the grace of God, into a kingdom where we get to experience all the pleasures and glories and wonders of being a citizen and a child of the King while we're here. Now, don't confuse that with prosperity. Because you got to remember the whole servant thing. Well, if I'm the real servant and I have a big fancy house and you don't, what's a servant do? Watch. How do I get in the kingdom? Obey all the laws. I did that. Sell all your stuff. What was he testing? You don't understand kingdom, buddy. You think it's yours. And the guy went away sad. The rich young ruler went away very sad because he was very wealthy. See, Jesus went right to, okay, I understand you want the Savior part, but are you willing to admit your stuff ain't yours? And if God tells you to get, but I worked hard for that. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been faithful to church this long, and you know what I've done in the church? I always get scared. I don't like it. New person visits the church, and they tell you about the 80 things they did at the last church. We get to participate in that process. So when God has a law and a rule, listen, young people, obey your parents, for this is right. That's God kingdom stuff, and you aren't going to like it, especially when you hit around 13. Well, no, because you're growing into that place where you're semi-independent, at least you think you are, until you have to go out and buy an apartment or something like that, and you realize you're not, okay? But you're in that battle. But God says, look, follow the kingdom way, it'll be better. Big Bob and I were talking the other day. We were talking about some of the ills of our culture. And I asked Bob, hey, Bob, why do you think these there? He goes, oh, that's easy. Moms went to work. I had to agree with him. That goes against our culture. My Bob says, somebody's going to raise their kids. If mom's gone, somebody's going to do it. But wait a minute, God has established a way to doing this. Read Titus chapter 2. If you don't believe me, make sure you read the first verse and the last verse. God has a way of ruling, but so often we resist that. But wait a minute. It's just one apple. I don't see the problem. I mean, I should have the free choice to pick my apple or not pick my apple. To share it with my husband or not share it with my, I know. But notice this, if you don't eat the apple, you keep living. If you eat the apple, you die. Yeah, I don't know about your system, God. I don't see how that apple's. I don't see how that one drink's going to bother. It's going to be a problem. You're right. I ain't a problem. Question is, are you being his representative when you do it? Only you can judge that. I mean, why you're doing it, that's you and God. But I want you to understand, how does the world see it? Same way with the movie, same way with the TV show, same way with how you dress, okay? You got to figure out when somebody looks at you, do they see God or do you say, I have the right to? I hate to tell you, in kingdoms, citizens don't have rights. Magna Carta came around and we see it that way. And we see it as dictatorships. I hate to tell you, the kingdom of God is a dictatorship. Sorry, it's just the way it is. Well, I don't like this whole giving, tithing. Yeah, but he didn't ask your opinion. I don't like this thing that I got to submit to my husband. Yeah, but he didn't ask your opinion. I don't like this thing that I need to go to a religious institution and sit with a bunch of people in organized religion. I don't like that. Man, he established that right away. No, you don't believe me. I know you don't. But he always calling the people to gather together, Old Testament, New Testament, together. But I don't like those people. Yeah, but he didn't ask you. It's not a democracy. It's a dictatorship. It is a kingdom. This is why the Israelites are having a hard time. Because every time a judge would come around and pull them back around and tear down idols and all that kind of stuff, that means I had to start living by his kingdom. And I just found that not the way I like it. Samuel, give us another kingdom, not just king. Don't appoint another judge and prophet. God's system, just give us a king like the world. And I'm going to meddle one last time. Man, you know, young people, they got to learn from people their own age. What can an 8-year-old teach another 8-year-old? How to pick their nose and fling it? What can one 16-year-old teach another? Come on, guys, remember being 16 in the locker room? Oh, you learned so much, you'll benefit. Oh, I know, hanging with your girlfriends can teach you how to put on your makeup, but that ain't really life important. We have this idea, the idea that God's system, it says the older should teach the younger. That's a God system. Fathers teach them when they rise up and when they sit down, when they go to bed, instruct them and train them. That's New Testament fathers. Wait. We homeschool. My wife does that. Oh, did I just go too far? God's system works. Where do you say, where do I say, give me another king? Let me have a king like them over there. Because it sure looks nicer over there. You're not a teenager anymore. Grow up. God's kingdom is established to give him glory, not you comfort. To give him glory, not to make you happy. But I'll tell you what, you start learning to give him glory and you'll be a whole lot happier and a whole lot more comfortable. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this, you will probably be content with what you have. Let's stand. So next week, when Samuel goes into what this king will do, I want you to understand he is contrasting God kingdom and man kingdom. Okay? Father, I thank you that you came preaching the kingdom of God. Your economy, your system, your ways that work in heaven, you were bringing to earth in Christ Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you are our Savior, our Redeemer, but we also thank you, God, that you are still Lord over all things, even those that do not proclaim you as Lord. Help us, O God, to relinquish our kingdoms, our places where we want someone or something else to reign, that you would be greater glorified in how we live. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.